ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरये. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, chapter number 9. It's number 13. 7913. Before you chant, we'll do the word for word. Sarve.
Sarve.
All.
He.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Ami.
Ami.
These. Vidikara.
Vidikara.
Executors of orders.
Executors of orders.
Tava. Your. Satvadamna,
Satvadamna,
being always situated in the transcendental world. Brahma-adaya, the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma. Vayam, we, Iva, like, Isha, O my Lord, na, not, cha, and, Udvijantaha, who are afraid of your fearful appearance.
Of your fearful appearance.
Shimaya,
Shimaya,
for the protection.
For the protection.
Bhutaye,
Bhutaye,
for the increase.
For the increase.
Utta, it is said. Atmasukhaya,
Atmasukhaya,
for personal satisfaction.
By such pastimes.
Cha, also, asya, of this material world,
bikriditam,
manifested.
Bhagavata,
of your lordship.
Ruchira,
very pleasing.
Avatara,
avatarai,
by your incarnations.
What does Udvijantaha mean? How about Shemaya?
For the protection.
Sarve hyami vidikarastava sattvadamno.
Sarve hyami vidikarastava sattvadamno.
Brahmadayo vayami veshana chodvijantaha.
Brahmadayo vayami veshana chodvijantaha.
Shemaya bhutaya utatma sukhaya chasya.
Shemaya bhutaya utatma sukhaya chasya.
Vikriditam bhagavato ruchiravatarai.
Vikriditam bhagavato ruchiravatarai.
Translation. O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your lordship who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. Please repeat, O my Lord,
O my Lord,
all the demigods,
all the demigods,
headed by Lord Brahma,
headed by Lord Brahma,
are sincere servants of your lordship.
Are sincere servants of your lordship.
Who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they're not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Your appearance in this fearsome form
is your pastime for your own pleasure.
Such an incarnation.
Such
is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to assert that his father and the other members of his family were all unfortunate because they were demoniac. Whereas the devotees of the Lord are always fortunate because they are always ready to follow the orders of the Lord. When the Supreme Lord appears in this material world, in his various incarnations, he performs two functions, saving the devotee and vanquishing the demon. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Lord Nrsingadev, for example, appeared for the protection of his devotee. Such pastimes as those of Nrsingadev are certainly not meant to create a fearful situation for the devotees. But nonetheless, the devotees, being very simple and faithful, were afraid of the fierce incarnation of the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, in the following prayer, requests the Lord to give up his anger. Sarvehyami vidikaras tava sattvadhamno. So these are the famous prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. And they begin at the beginning of this chapter. After the demigods have, in the previous chapters, 8, offered their prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, he was so angry, was the Lord, that at the transgression against his pure devotee. And after all, it is a horrible transgression. The Hiranyakashipu, if you can imagine somebody coming in here now, all these simple Vaishnavas sitting here and someone with big gold chains. I mean, just a gold chain would do it. But he, one big huge chain. And it's a little pretentious. And he had abused his simple son, who was a devotee. And really, Jai Shri Shri Radha Govinda Ji Ki Jai. He had expected that because of his austerities, he would be able to control anything and everyone. In fact, he had been fairly successful so far. Hiranyakashipu performed austerities that Brahma said no one's ever seen before. And he offered him benedictions that have never been offered before. And Hiranyakashipu, although he had diminished his physical body because of austerities, had them restored by Brahma, because Brahma has a lot of power, and he had poured some water from his water pot, restored his body, it became very beautiful, and he became powerful. Mm-hmm. And problem is with the living entity, when the living entity thinks that I'm going to be okay in the material world, then he starts to cause problems. There's no, one of the lessons of the story is that there is no permanent situation here in the material world. No matter what kind of arrangement you make, and I think that we could say safely that Hiranyakashipu went to the greatest extent of anybody to make an arrangement to be able to stay in the material world in a position of power. In fact, the demigods are not spared in the story either, because they also have a sense of power and control in the material world. And when you go upwards, just like when you go uptown here, the atmosphere changes when you go into upper planetary systems. There's a modicum of peace and due to the sattva-gun. And the demigods have a sense that everything's going to be okay. Nonetheless, it's pointed out in this pastime that the demigods were suddenly surprised by the appearance of a flame coming down, coming up at them, and smoke. And it wasn't any ordinary flame or smoke, but it was coming from the mystic powers being developed by Hiranyakashipu. You know those times when everything's going okay, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get some inkling that it's not? I remember when 9/11 came, I was getting ready to go out the door, and Neera Akula told me that her sister just called, and New York was on fire, and I said, well, that's interesting, isn't it always? But then it turned out to be a lot more than that. You know, sometimes it just starts with a little phone call or some inkling. So in the higher planetary systems, there was some memo that went around that things aren't exactly all in place. And then as the news broke out, it became more and more pronounced. That is, the news that things weren't right. And very soon afterwards, Hiranyakashipu intervened into the heavenly planets and usurped the power of the demigods that they rightly had. When I say rightly, it means because the universe has a justice to it. There's a system of, if you do certain things, then you're rewarded in a certain way. Actually, Hiranyakashipu wanted to circumvent that system, and he did for some time. But back to my original point, it was very surprising to the demigods because it seemed as if everything was going to be fine. And then it wasn't. So no matter where one goes in the material world, Krishna tries to manage our expectations in the Bhagavad Gita by saying, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avartino Arjuna Mamu Petya Tukontaya Punar Janma Nividyate. That the material world is fraught with trouble from the top to the bottom. He actually covers everything, because he says that Brahma Bhuvana, that from Brahma's planet, which is the highest, down to the lowest, there's problems everywhere. So you can expect that. And even if you're in the mode of goodness, there will be an upheaval at some point, and passion and ignorance will make their upsurge and come and disturb things. So that's something that's pointed out. And of course, Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu. And the Bhagavatam constantly does this. It's really pointing out the fact that bhakti can appear anywhere. It doesn't matter. In fact, most of the great devotees that appear in the Bhagavatam come from very unlikely backgrounds, like Vritrasura. No one expected that he would be a pure devotee, but it comes out in his activities and his prayers. And Prahlad Maharaj also was expected by the demigods to be a super demon, because Hiranyakashipu was there, and it makes logical sense that his son would be a bad seed. So they had made a plan and they enacted it, to kidnap Hiranyakashipu's wife when he wasn't there. And they did it. And just as they were taking her away, because she was pregnant, they had this scheme that they were going to wait till she gave birth and then kill the child to save the universe from any more trouble. But Narada intervened, and he told the demigods, actually, there's a great devotee in the womb of Kayadu, Hiranyakashipu's wife. And interestingly, they just believed him because he's Narada Muni. That's a benefit, to have a reputation like that, that you never lie, and your integrity is such that when you tell people something, they just say, okay, then if you said it, I believe it. Happened with Vasudev too. When Kamsa needed a reason to stop trying to kill Devaki, he said, I'll give you all the children. That's a pretty fantastical statement, but he believed it because of Vasudev's character. And so Prabhupada points out that this is the system of parampara, that somebody is accepted as an authority for good reason, and circa 1960. So then Prahlad Maharaj was the beneficiary of the mercy of Narada Muni. He took the wife of Hiranyakashipu to his ashram, and knowing full well that there was a receptive soul within the womb, he gave instructions about pure devotional service, which Prahlad, while in the womb, imbibed. And then when he came out, he was already a great devotee. And that was shocking to Hiranyakashipu. I remember once after I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I went home. I didn't actually go home. My father took me to a dentist appointment. And then when he was driving back to the temple, he said, "You know, no one else in our family believes in God. What happened to you?" Kind of reminded me of that. Hiranyakashipu was really surprised when he met Prahlad after he had sent him to the nice private school. And he thought, you know, he'll be kind of like me. And, you know, we'll have fun together and I'll teach him all kinds of demoniac stuff. And then he asked Prahlad, "So Prahlad, what do you think? What do you think of school? And what, you know, what's the best thing?" And then Prahlad Maharaj, his answers are really funny because they don't really answer his question. He just gives a straightforward suggestion to his father. The first time his father asks, and then he says that first he calls him Asurya Varya. That Varya means the best. So he said, "You're the best of the demons," which is kind of an insult. And then he said, "You know, father, you know, for people like you who are really lost, because you're in a dark well. You've sworn to stay in the material world at any cost." And he said, "You're full of anxieties." Sadasamudvigna means that you're constantly in anxiety. You have to be, because you're in contact with the material energy. Asadgrahat. And you're married to the impermanent. This is your dedication to things that are going to diminish. So it's a really sad state of affairs. And so he told him, "Vanam gato yad dharmashriyita. Go take shelter in the forest. Just leave, go to the forest." Which for a king, that's a big deal. As we know that when Ram was sent to the banished to the forest, that's like the biggest thing that can happen, is you leave civilization and go into the forest. So it was a fairly shocking piece of advice he got from his little 5-year-old son, just fresh out of kindergarten. But that was his heart. He was very straightforward with his father and told him that. And then his father said, you know, there must have been some mistake. He kind of blamed the teachers, Shunda and Amarka. And he told the teachers, go back and, you know, make sure this time nobody's coming to school when you're not looking. Because they swore that they weren't doing it. He believed them. But then they thought, it must be somebody else coming here to the school and teaching him these things, because he's not getting it from our curriculum. And so after some time, he called Prahlad to come back, and he asked him again about, you know, what he thought about school and what was going on. And then Prahlad told him, he recited what he had heard from Narada Muni, the 9 processes of devotional service. Like, what's the best thing in school? And he didn't tell him what he learned in school. He told him, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. He said, these direct processes of worshiping God, these are the best. This is the best thing in life. And then Hiranyakashipu really started to get irritated, because he considered Vishnu to be his enemy, because Vishnu had killed his brother Hiranyaka. And now, I mean, it's bad enough when that happens, but then when your own kith and kin side with the enemy, this was his argument, you know, like, how could you? This is an insult, and insult to injury. So he became really disturbed with Prahlad. And then the persecutions, he persecuted him. And he became fearful of Prahlad, because he saw that no matter what he did to try to persecute him, Prahlad was not affected. And that scared Hiranyakashipu a lot. And of course, at the final moment when he tried to kill Prahlad, then Hiranyakashipu appeared. Lord Nrisimhadev appeared, and he was so angry that his eternal wife, Lakshmi Devi, didn't recognize him. she's, all the demigods were offering prayers, but they were all afraid also, because, I mean, when, I mean, it's described actually when he was roaring that every creature in the universe became afraid. One of his names, Digibot, means that even these elephants that guard the four directions, they became afraid and started running for their lives, hearing the roaring of Lord Nrsingadev. And Lakshmi Devi, I mean, she was, is that my husband? It's like God even becomes angry. It's like he's really, you don't know what he's going to do next. And so it was a very fearful situation. And you'll find that the demigods came forward one after another and they offered their prayers. But still, Nrsingadev was angry. So that this chapter, chapter 9, starts off with Brahma pushing Prahlad forward and saying, you offer the prayers. So because he came for you. And Prahlad, when he starts to speak to Lord Nrsingadev, his voice, gadgadaya, means gadgada, means the voice falters, like out of ecstasy. He's so much in ecstasy that, and when he's offering the prayers, that it's hard for him to speak. So then he first says what can I do? Because all the demigods, they've already offered prayers. Brahmadaya, Suragana, Muniya, Tasidha, Satvai Katana Gatayo, Vachasam Pravahe. He says they're all in the mode of goodness. And they've offered streams of excellent prayers. But what am I? I have no qualities. I have demoniac blood flowing through my veins. Actually, back then, that really meant something. Nowadays, then nobody can tell where anybody comes from or what their pedigree is because everything's so mixed up. But back then, it was there were more clear divisions in society, and if you had bad lineage, you were considered to be pretty bad too. So Prahlad said that I'm from a really bad lineage, demoniac. What can I say? And then he remembered Gajendra. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gaja yutapaya. He said, but Gajendra, he was an animal. May have been a big animal, an elephant, but because he had bhakti, he offered prayers to you with sincerity, said then, therefore, and you accepted it. It pleased you. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan. Tutosha means it pleased you. Tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. Gajayutapaya means the king of the elephants, Gajendra. So then Prahlad says that Vipradvishad guna yatar aravindanava padaravinda vimukatshvapachamva rishnam manyetar arpita mano vachadehi tarta pranam punati sakulam natabhudimanaha. He says, so if a brahmana with all these great qualities offers you some prayers, or he says, a so-called brahmana with great qualities, brahminical qualities, but who's not a devotee. He doesn't believe in you, and he doesn't submit to you. He said he's really useless. All those qualities, they don't mean anything. On the other hand, he said if a shvapacha, a person who is a dog cooker, I mean, that's what they have for Thanksgiving. They go home, have some dog. It comes from like a really low background, but is a devotee. So that person can deliver not only him or herself, but his or her whole family, because that's the qualification. So then Prahlad concludes that I can offer prayers if I'm just sincere, and I try to offer prayers with a sincere heart. So then he starts these prayers, and here he's... especially mentioning that this form of the Lord is for the good of everyone. Shemaya bhutaya utatma sukaya chasya. Shemaya means that It's for the protection, bhutaya, for the increase and of welfare for everybody. So whenever the Lord appears, it's for everyone's good. Even though it's for his own pleasure, it's meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. So this is the prerogative of the Lord, that he appears especially to save his devotees. And when he appears, then there's multiple good for everyone. He cuts down the demons and he uplifts the devotees. Also, Prahlad Maharaj mentions that although everyone else is afraid of Nrsingadev, he's not afraid. Of course, he says two things in this chapter in his prayers. One, he says that although everyone's afraid of your fearsome form, I'm not afraid. What I am afraid of is your Vishnu Maya, because he said I've seen how powerful it is, and I don't want to get pulled down again into that. I want to take shelter of you. And he says, yeah, I'm not afraid of your personal form, because I know that it's for the good of everyone, but I am afraid of your Maya, so I'm taking shelter of you. And then again and again in this chapter, Prahlad mentions that the means by which he's taking shelter of Lord Nrsingadev, actually, he doesn't say that I'm taking shelter of you directly, but he mentions several times that I'm taking shelter of your devotee. And he makes a point of this, that this is the way in which I'm going to take shelter. I'm going to serve your devotees. I'm going to follow in the footsteps of devotees like Lord Brahma, who are actually your devotee, and also my spiritual master, Narada Muni. He mentions that I'll take shelter of him. And in that way, I'll be able to get your shelter. So this verse, again, the translation, O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your lordship, who are situated in a transcendental position, therefore they are not like us. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. So a final point before I take some reflections, questions, is that this meaning the Lord's appearance and learning about it, and understanding what his nature is the means by which one can actually get benefit in life. If one understands Krishna's nature, he says in the Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata. Try to understand me in truth, that I'm not affected by the material world and what my relationship is with every living entity, then tyakva deham, when you give up your body, punarjanma, you don't take birth again in the material world, but you'll ascend to the spiritual world, and you'll go on increasing your service in that way. So when the Lord appears, it's a special boon for everyone. I was thinking about some experiences I had recently where we were interacting with some Baptist church, and I was just struck by the fact that there's no form of the Lord anywhere, especially the Baptists, because, you know, they just show the cross. In Catholic Church, you'll see a lot of imagery, saints, and you'll see Jesus on the cross. There's some form there. But the Protestants mostly, like, Jesus already rose from the dead, so all you get left is the cross. So it's not much to look at or to where to concentrate one's mind. But we learned last night, when you start to hear and chant, because this is in Prahlad's instructions, to his father, he says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. Said, when you hear properly, then naturally the next thing is you'll you'll become aware of the form of the Lord. And then you become aware of the qualities of the Lord. And then you become aware of the associates of the Lord. So it goes in that order. Normally we say FAQ, but we say FQA. Form, qualities, and associates. In other words, there's a progression, a progressive way in which one begins to discover all the features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And without this, with just an emptiness, like there are nihilists who say that ultimately there's no soul, anatmana. And it's not very satisfying. In fact, that's why historically the Buddhist tradition has had to, in order to keep up with other religious traditions, had to amend their teachings a little bit to include some personal idea. Because, I mean, just it's not very satisfying. Your mother dies, and then, you know, you ask the priest what happened, and it's like nothing. And there wasn't anybody there anyway. It was like it was a pot got broken, and then now there's nothing. It's like, what do you mean? There's nothing. Where'd she go? It's like, nowhere. That doesn't help. Nor does a philosophy help where there's no way in which one can understand what is the form of the Lord and develop a relationship. This is mentioned in the Bhagavatam that yene ravindaksha vimuktimaninas tvayasta bhavada vashuddha buddhaya aruya krishtena paramparam tata patantyato nadrita yushmarangraya. This verse by the demigods praying to Lord Krishna within the womb says that if you don't have a relationship with God, because it mentions his eyes, the form is there, right? It's yene aravindaksha means the lotus-eyed one. I mean, we really get attracted to people's eyes. When you can tell a lot about somebody with their eyes, and Krishna's eyes are famous. He has lotus eyes. So the verse says, unless you actually are attracted to and have a relationship with the person, then it becomes impossible for you to have a substantial standing anywhere. Whatever imagined form of liberation you get, you'll fall down. You'll fall back from unless you actually enter into a relationship. So this is important that the Lord appears personally. He shows himself, and there are features. I mean, it's really interesting, Lord Nrsimhadev. You go in South India, and you'll find all kinds of forms of Lord Nrsimhadev, and it's charming, the form of Lord Nrsimhadev. There's one place I went called Mangalagiri. It's down in Andhra Pradesh, in Andhra. The famous deity of Lord Nrsimhadev. They have lots of Nrsimhadev deities in Andhra Pradesh. And you get a conch shell, and they fill it up with gour water. In fact, you get a whole bucket of gour water, and you bring it in to the pujari, and he feeds it right to the deity. And then the deity drinks it directly. But he always stops halfway before all the gour is gone, so you can take some home as prasad. But the pujari puts it in his mouth and glung, 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 he drinks. So the devotees, they relish this, that there's actually, you can feed him. You can take things to him and offer it to him. You can put a garland. We need this. It's called a chutabhava. You know, you have to have some emotion for the form of the Lord in order to actually feel satisfied, because we're parts and parcel of the Lord. And if we don't see him, if we don't know what he looks like, and we can't have some interaction with him, we start getting a little jumpy and restless here in this world. And we start looking for other forms to interact with. And then that turns out to be a big mistake. So taking this day as a very special day, the appearance days of the Lord, when he manifests himself in this world so that everybody can see him and hear about him. And then you can cheer for him, and you can look at him, and you can offer him garlands and gour water and whatever else you want to do. And then your life becomes happy. Because when you turn your energies towards Krishna, in fact, Prahlad says this in his prayers. What is that verse? He says that if you, I might as well just look, I got a book right here. Even though I only got one, I didn't get the Saptarishi. Naivatmana Prabhurayam Nijalabhapurno. He says that when you offer something to the Lord, it's not for his benefit because he's already complete. Labhapurno. He has nothing to gain from you, but he's complete in himself. But Naivatmana Prabhurayam Nijalabhapurno Manam Janad Avidusha Karuno Vrinite. Yad yajjano bhagavate viditita manam tach chatmane pratumukasya yata mukashri. If you offer something to the Lord, then you feel satisfied. And then he gives this analogy that if you look in the mirror and you decorate your face, then the reflection's also decorated. True or false? Okay, good. Just making sure mirrors work the same way here in New York. You put on nice tealock or whatever on your face, and then the reflection, oh, there, the reflection also has it too. So here, Prahlad is saying, we're parts and parcel of the Lord, so in one sense, it's like we're a reflection of him. So when we satisfy the Lord, we decorate him, we feed him, we offer prayers to him, we feel satisfaction by seeing him, then that's when we feel satisfied. This is a revelation, because otherwise you're wasting your time. The opposite, trying to satisfy yourself independently, it just doesn't work. It becomes a burden. And there's karma involved, and it gets really complicated and messy. But the simple idea that actually God is the enjoyer of everything. But that's not the end of it. First of all, he's the one who can actually enjoy, which is nice to see somebody actually enjoy. People are faking it here in the material world, but Krishna's not faking it. He actually enjoys, and he can actually accept whatever we give. Most people, it's hard to give in this world because people can't accept it and they can't enjoy it. But he can take everything, and he can enjoy it. And when the more we give to him, the more we feel filled up ourselves. How's that for an algebraic equation? So that's a secret of life. That's the secret of life. That's why devotees really get up for these appearance days. All the appearance days of the Lord, they wake up like, this is it. He appeared. And we can see him. And we can hear about him. And we can offer things. And, you could make a whole career out of this. Just worshiping Krishna, it becomes so satisfying that people just like drop everything else. It's like, what'd you do that for? It's like, I don't have time. This is too nice. So it's really important when the Lord appears because he does it for our benefit. That's what this verse is saying. He does it for the benefit and protection of the world. So now we'll take a few reflections and questions. Then we'll go on Harinam together around the block. Okay? Say yes.
Yes.
Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, okay, because people are just waking up now. We've been up for a while, but they're waking up. Okay, reflect. And Navina Nirita Prabhu.
Thank you. When we hear a chant about the Lord, then his form becomes visible, and the next thing we notice is that he has forms. And then we can also associates, that he doesn't come alone. There's devotees there, and they have a relationship with him. And because I'm trying to have a relationship with him, I also have a relationship with the devotees. So it's a natural sequence, FQA.
Yes, and this is a point that Jiva Goswami makes when he's in his Tattva Sandarbha, when he's talking about several verses in the Bhagavatam that describe the philosophy of Vaishnavism in a nutshell. And that's the section of the Bhagavatam about Srila Vyasadeva's samadhi. You know, he met his spiritual master and admitted to him that he's not satisfied, so his guru told him that you have to be more specific and demonstrative about it, talking about the Lord. And Vyasadeva went into samadhi, and it's described in several verses, the effect of the samadhi that he went into. And in one of the descriptions of the Lord and the spiritual world, it's mentioned that the Lord is Purnam, or complete. And there's no mention of his associates there in that verse, because it's truncated, it's like sutra-esque. But then Jiva Goswami points out that Purna, complete, the Lord complete, it's just like if you see the moon, you don't, there's a full moon, that's Purna. We say the Purnima. You don't say that it was it shining, because that's what it means if it's full. It's naturally shining. So similarly, he says, when you say the Lord, you don't say that it was the Lord alone. But it's implied, just as much as if the President of the United States, if you were looking out the window and you said, there goes the President of the United States, what would you likely be looking at out the window? Like Trump walking down the street by himself?
Motorcade.
No, you'd probably see a motorcade. You probably wouldn't even see him. And even if in some rare case, well, really rare with this presidency, if you saw him jogging or something like that, then there would be Secret Service people all around him somewhere. You know, the king or the president doesn't go by himself. It's always with his energies. So the revelation that his energies are all there, there's a whole world of associates and so forth. And then, as Prahlad was saying, by coming in contact with those associates, serving the associates, actually, and that's Krishna's admonition, don't serve me, serve my devotees. Then one makes significant advancement in devotional service. Okay, go ahead, more reflections, and I won't make such long comments afterwards.
I noted your description of Prahlad Maharaj's prayer that he's not afraid of Nisringade, but he's afraid of Nisringa's Maya. And here's Prahlad, and I reflected on how Srila Prabhupada commented at some point that the problem with us, me, is that we're not afraid enough of Maya. We think that we can. And that goes back to your first point about feeling comfortable in the world. Things are okay.
Yeah, it's a point that comes up in the 10th canto also. In the first volume of the 10th canto, Devaki is afraid because her children are being killed by Kamsa, and then Krishna appears. Of course, that time they have to lie and say, and not tell Kamsa that he was born. And she's very fearful that Kamsa will find out his child is there. So Prabhupada says, pursuant to the previous acharyas, that the fear that's always there within Devaki is very purifying. And it represents one's fear of the bad qualities that are inherent within one's heart here in the material world. But he says the fear actually diminishes those bad qualities. Kam, krodh, lobh, mara, moha, matsarya, etc. And those were represented by the Shadgarbha asuras. The first children that were born in the womb of Devaki were actually cursed to be born in that womb and then be killed afterwards. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Prabhupada follows up on that, that these are killed. These bad qualities are killed because we're afraid of material existence. So it's a good thing. to be slightly afraid. Prabhu, you were going to say?
Yeah. Despite Prahlad Maharaj being a first-class devotee, he qualified all nine types of devotional service, just which is Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Sramanam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakshyam, Akhmanam. And he became very dear to the Lord also. But still, why he was addressed, O King of the Demon?
Why, who is addressed?
Prahlad Maharaj.
Where?
He was addressed, O King of the Demon.
He was addressing his father. So he said, that was when his father called Prahlad out of school and he said, what did you learn? And then Prahlad's is a famous verse, Tatsarumanye suravarya dehinam sarasimu vignamidhyam asadgrahat. Hidvapapatam grihamandakupam vanam gato yadharamashriyeta. So then he calls his father Suryavarya dehinam, which means that, oh, best of the demons, this is what I learned.
Not dad,
my father, just best of the demons. Yeah. But even in the Gita, you know, of the Daityas, I am devoted Prahlad. So Krishna calls him, you know, he says he's a Daitya. It means he's a demon. Of course, it means he was born. There's the demons and the devotees born at the beginning of the universe from Diti and Aditi. So he's coming from that background. So it's one of the ornaments, actually, of bhakti. The bhakti appears from anywhere. And it's not, there's no delimiting factor to bhakti because of the environment. When the will is there, when someone decides that I'm going to become a devotee, then there's no impediment. Doesn't matter where you come from or what the situation is, how many complexities you have in your life, the bhakti will emerge and be successful. Did you have your hand up? Yes. To be an impersonalist or an atheist? That's answered in the Sri Upanishad. It says, Andam tama pravishanti ye sambhutim upasate tatabhuye vate tamo ya usambhutyam rataha. Yes, so they're actually classed in the same way. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, they're both called pashandis. And there are a lot of different ways in which you can be called a Pashandi or somebody who's not qualified. And one of them is to be an impersonalist. Another is to consider the demigods and Vishnu to be the same. You just say that they're all equal. It's all the same thing. It's all just a big mishmash and it doesn't make any difference. Yes tu Narayanam Devam. Brahma Rudradi Daivatai. Next line. Brahma Rudradi Daivatai. What's the next word? Anyway, there's a famous verse in it, and it says that, you know, those who say Vishnu and the demigods are the same, they're called Pashandis or atheists. And then somebody who's a proclaimed atheist, it all amounts to the same thing. But, you know, in some ways, I mean, it depends how you look at it. But you could argue it in a lot of different ways. Sri Upanishad also says, Andantama pravishanti ye vidyam upasate tato bhuya evate tamo ya uvidya yamrataha. So what's worse, like knowledge or fake knowledge? I don't want to go there, do I? Fake knowledge. But there it is. It says it in the Sri Upanishad. So it says, so there's materialistic knowledge, was it? The verse says that there's ignorance, avidya. So ignorance is bad, but fake knowledge is worse because it leads people down the wrong path. So if someone says, I'm an atheist, at least you know what you're dealing with. But if somebody says, there is a God, but he's nothing, and propagates that, which happens, they propagate a false philosophy. That could be worse. Does that make sense? Okay.
Thank you for nice class. like also a pilgrimation when Prahlad Maharaj said that he's not afraid of Yusha's form of Narasimhadev.
Yes.
Afraid of Maya. And I have actually a question. How to keep this balance? Because sometimes, like in devotees' lives, right, we just go through different situations, right, and it can go like it's everything is Maya because we associate with Maya, and then you just don't want to kind of repeat different kind of situations, and you're just too much afraid. And how to balance that? It doesn't. You still can act.
Yeah, so if I understood correctly, your point was that just some fear is good, but if you become too fearful, then you may become dysfunctional.
It's still, like, we do different things, and some devotees, they say, oh, it's Maya. But we still have to associate with different.
They said, what's Maya?
Different things.
Like what? Name two.
Like, even different relationships, right? And even though we know that it's Maya, but we have to associate with this. And how to keep this balance, but still keep good relationship with devotees. And
how to be have good relationship with devotees, but at the same time, not turn it into some kind of mundane relationship, something like that. Well, yeah, this idea of balance is there in various places. For instance, Krishna, when he's talking about the intermediate devotee, and he describes in that verse, I think it's in the 11th canto, Jatashara Matkatasu Nirvina Sarvakarmasu. He's mentioning the qualities of a person who has realized that the material world, actually I'll just say the verse, Jatashara Matkatasu Nirvina Sarvakarmasu Veda Dukat Makankamams Hrityagi Pyanishvara. He understands the material world is all things lead to misery. Veda dukkha makam kamams. I engage in the material world, it turns for material enjoyment, it becomes miserable. He's also disgusted with the senses interaction, but prityage pyanishvara, he doesn't have the strength to stop doing it. So then he goes on, Krishna goes on to say that don't become discouraged, keep on with your practice, because eventually you'll come to a higher stage. And he says, Dukho darkams to garyan. Garyan means that you can be a little repentant. He said, but don't be become morbidly or become so repentant or disgusted that you give up your practice. So there's a balance in that. And also, your specific question was, how do we interact in the world so that, you know, the relationships are nourishing in our devotional practice? We have to have relationships because living entities are conscious living beings, which means that we thrive on such things. So we just have to be aware of what our motive is when we're in relationships. So Rupa Goswami considers it so important that when he begins his teachings in the Nectar of Instruction, just in the fourth verse, before he even talks about chanting the holy name, he says, Dadati pratigrnati guhyam akyati prachiti bhunkte bojayate chaiva shadvidam pratilakshanam. That these are six symptoms of love exchanged between one devotee and another, giving gifts, accepting gifts, giving prasadam, accepting prasadam, and revealing one's mind and hearing others reveal their minds. And so it's obviously a very important aspect of devotional service, but it has to be done within the context of the what's best for devotional service. For instance, sometimes people talk about devotee association, and what does that mean, really, to associate with devotees? Sadhu Sangha. Does it mean to go to the movies together or something? Or play billiards? I mean, it really means, you know, spiritual association, that's important. And then also, there's some cultural considerations also. Because, you know, as when Prabhupada came to the West and he saw how, you know, boys and girls spent so much time together. It was like the very strict demarcation that is observed in India. He had to give some concession because to be very abrupt and come in and just readjust, re-engineer the culture would not have been successful. But at the same time, you know, Prabhupada insisted as an example that men and women were married. So he got a lot of his disciples married because there was you know, a concern about free mixing, because as the Bhagavatam, 7th canto, even says, you know, that when men and women come together, then there's the effect is there. Without a lot of elaboration, it's something that you have to be aware of. It's the nature of the material world. So on one hand, you know, Prabhupada was allowing more leeway for men and women to associate together in Krishna consciousness, preaching together and things like that. You see the pictures from the old days that, you know, they're all one team working together and stuff like that. On the other hand, he was getting them married because he didn't want free mixing and things like that, because that becomes a problem at some point. So there's always a balance. You have to be careful, but you also don't want to become so pedantic about it that it becomes a dry thing where, you know, no one can look at another person, or the interactions become really dry, or even inconvenient and things like that. So a lot of that has to do with the you know, the way each community is built, and there's, you know, mutual respect, so that in the way people speak to one another and the way they move about, and that the service attitude and mood and exchanges can be there, but then the part that is dangerous has to be observed also. And so it's always a balance. Okay. Any last thing? Yes? Yes.
Without form, you know, relationship is not substantial and one can fall down.
Yes.
So, Lord revealing his form to his devotees is also can also be thought as a way of his protection, because when he reveals his form, the devotees will get attracted to that form and then he grows up.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's one of the ways that he protects the devotees, is he reveals his form so that they aren't affected by the fault of impersonalism. In fact, Prabhupada says that. It's one of the poetical things Prabhupada says in his books. He says the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't have the fault of being impersonal. And from the very beginning of Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami is pulling Parikshit Maharaj and all his listeners to this point of personalism, that just see the universe. It's actually the form of the Lord. You have to start seeing like that. See the universe, and you consider this is the body of the Lord, then you're going in the right direction. The relationship is developing. Sambandha Gyan, the knowledge of the relationship. So that's the way he's... And then he's pointing out you should have gratitude for the things you're getting from the universe. Gratitude, if you really think about it, means there's a person behind it somewhere. Otherwise, who are you being grateful to? Some impersonal force? Doesn't make sense. But the form of the Lord and having a relationship with him makes a lot of sense. And it's very satisfying. And I would argue that people are actually dying to see the form of the Lord. And that's what Prabhupada had that sense when he came out with the Krishna book, and he insisted that it had 54 color plates. That's a lot of color plates for one book. That was the first book came out. First time ever that so explicitly the form of God was seen in human society, or Western society anyway. You know, and I remember just those when those books first came out and we were distributing them, we would, my first experience was in the San Francisco airport, and we didn't have permission at that time, so we had to sneak around. We actually put on wigs. I shaved my head, and then they said, okay, now go get a wig. And I'm like, what? Say what? And so we got a wig at the airport, and we used to sit down with people. Back then, it was the 70s, so we'd always look for like hippie type people because they were kind of cool and open to stuff back then, not anymore. And we'd see somebody and we'd go sit down there and like, hey man, you want to see something far out? And they go, yeah, what? And they go, no, I'm talking really far out. What is it? And they go, check this out. And we just show them the pictures. That's what was selling the Krishna book. It's look at this. And then they start going through the pictures. And they go, yeah, I agree, that is far out. and they take it, and Prabhupada knew it, that if they could see the form of Krishna, as Hayagriva wrote in his book, The Hare Krishna Explosion, you know, in San Francisco in the late 60s when Prabhupada came and introduced Krishna, for the hippies there, you know, they had long hair, they had bare feet, and then they looked at Krishna and he goes, he's got long hair. He's got bare feet. Got a flute, too. There were a lot of flutes in the Haight-Ashbury back then. He's like, and so he said, they were thinking, like, he's the ultimate hippie. Who knew God was the ultimate hippie? And you know, then the qualities come in. Like Prabhupada once said, Krishna's playing a flute. That means, you know, both hands are occupied playing the flute. He said, that means he's all play and no work. That's kind of appealing. But if you don't hear stuff like that, you know, how are you going to get attached? And if you don't know, nectar devotion is—it's an ocean of little vignettes and descriptions of the qualities of Krishna. When's the last time you read the whole nectar devotion from beginning to end? Oh, I mean, it's amazing. There was a devotee when I first joined in San Francisco. His name's Vijitatme. He's still around. He's an amazing devotee. He was addicted to nectar devotion, and he'd always be talking about the pastimes of Krishna and the qualities from the nectar devotion. In fact, we used to distribute books together down at Fisherman's Wharf. I'd go around the corner and I'd see people walking around the corner and they'd have three copies of nectar devotion. Instead of giving him, you know, a variety of books, he had three nectar devotions. He was so into it. But there, you know, Rupa Goswami has taken the trouble to catalog all the different qualities of Krishna and the symptoms of the relationships that devotees have with him, because these all indicate our eternal personal relationship with him. And, of course, in Christianity, there's talk about, you know, a personal relationship with God, and that's the most attractive part. When people, they say, you know, I've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's like, well, how do you get that? You know, I'd like to have that too. Because that's what we all want, is some kind of relationship, I would argue. And the Shastra argues also in that way. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande. Nitai Gaura Haribo. Haribo. Hari bo nitai gora hari bo nitai gora hari bo hari bo hari bo nitai gora hari bo vancha kalp dhrusha kripa sanave vachapatitanam pavani bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta ki jai.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman. Hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.